Let's talk this morning about something powerful. I want to talk this morning about something that we take for granted in the body of Christ. Something we don't talk often about. It's not that we avoid it. It's just we don't think about it. We just do it. And we say, even this morning, we saw several examples where we extend our hands or lay hands on someone. And it's a powerful instrument used by the Lord to impart His blessing, His power, His presence. But we don't think about it. We think about it instead as a symbolic gesture. I mean, after all, it's, you know, you just pop your hand over here. How many know if I got an empty hand on an empty person, we got empty promise? But I'm not putting an empty hand on an empty person. I'm talking about a man of faith.
Amen.
Amen. But God does something through the laying on of hands. Now, I want you to watch a scripture here this morning. 7:17 of the book of John. Please read this out loud with me if you would. If any man will do his will, meaning God's will, he shall know of the doctrine. Now, sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we walk, He leads us, we follow, we obey Him, and He does something remarkable. And sometimes the understanding for that comes a little bit later as you look into the scripture and you see, oh, that's what happened. Other times, the teaching comes first, and the doing of it comes later. We lay hands upon you for healing, and we believe God does something powerful through the laying on of hands. It's the Bible. And as we walk with Him, we want to grow in Him. Anybody in this room want to grow in Jesus? Come on. Yeah. I do too. So look what the scripture says. But the hour is coming, John 4:23-24, and now is. It's now, Jesus says, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to understand the biblical experiences we have, and we need to experience the biblical understanding we have. I'll say that again. We need to understand the biblical experiences founded in the Word of God, and we need to experience the understanding of the Word of God. If you want to walk in spirit and in truth, there is a balanced walk in your walk with the Lord in such a way that we grow in understanding and in experiencing. If, you know, the old Bible teacher used to say it this way, all understanding, you dry up. All experience, you blow up. Understanding and experience, you grow up. How many want to grow up? But sometimes the Lord allows you to understand something and then it gets a little uncomfortable when He says, now I want you to experience it. You're all quiet in here. What are you going to make me do this morning, Kevin? I'm not going to make you do anything. But the Lord gives us opportunities to grow in grace and in understanding. Now, let's talk this morning. Can we talk?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit's alive today. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is alive today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are alive and well today. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Prophecy, tongues and interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, miracles. How many would like to see a lot more miracles than we see? But I'm going to believe God. I'm going to keep stretching my faith. How about you? I'm going to keep reaching out. Okay, God, we're going to believe you for greater things and evangelism and faith and response and all of those things. The Holy Spirit is alive. Now, when you think of essential New Testament truths, though, we often think of repentance and faith and surrender to Jesus. Being saved by grace through faith. Amen? Come on, say it with me. Saved by grace through faith. You understand you're not saved by your good works. None of us can be good enough. We do good works to cooperate with Him as a demonstration of the fact we've been saved. But we're not saved by doing good works. We're saved by grace. Essential truths of Christianity. We know the Bible is true. Every word of the Bible is true. How many know we don't all understand every word of the Bible yet? So we understand it as best as we can, and we grow in it as best as we can, but we keep moving and growing. Essential truths like repentance, like restoration, like healing, like resurrection. When we die, there will be a resurrection either to heaven or to hell. Heaven and hell are very real places. And the Lord says, I want you to come up with me. I don't want you to go down there. And every man and woman has a choice. Come on, make the right choice and surrender to Jesus. Because it's real. Water baptism. Truth from the Scripture. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. So many rich teachings. But there's a teaching that most don't talk about all the time because it's assumed that it's a part of your Christian walk. But I want you to know it's such an important, essential part of your Christian walk. Paul assumes it as your foundation in order to even grow and go on. Watch the Scripture. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Come on. Anybody else want to go on to perfection? Come on. Come on. Who wants to go on to perfection? Who wants to? Five of you. Six. I'm seeing more hands. We want to go on. We want to be like Him. Mature like Him. We want to go on to perfection. Not laying again the, what's the next word? The foundation. Your starting blocks. That which is essential for your walk in the Lord, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and please say the next phrase out loud with me, of laying on of hands. Wow. Well, that's easy. You say, stick out your hand, and I plop a hand on Cecil's shoulder, and that's it, isn't it? Isn't that all there is? It's a symbolic gesture. Isn't that all there is? No, there's a lot more. And it's so essential to understand. Now listen, I'm going to give you an overall picture of the heart of God. This is so essential because God loves you so much and God wants to be so involved with you that He puts Himself inside of you and says, now, I'm going to use you to give me a way to her. I'm going to use you to give me a way to her. And I want you to reach out and bless one another because I want to impart. I want to be with my people. I want them to know I'm with them. I don't want anybody alone in the body of Christ. And so you come to this church and they go, lay hands on people. And go, I don't want to touch that person. Did you shower? That crazy pastor's up there making us lay hands on people. No, you don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to. But God says, I want to give myself away. And I, several things, I want you to know you're not alone, so I want to touch you. And I have other people standing right beside you who connect with you and touch you with the presence of God. And I'm going to pour myself through that vessel into you. You know what the word encourage means? Do you know what it means? To put courage in. Encourage. And so when you lay hands on one another, you put something in. You put Jesus in. And it's a foundation stone of our Christian walk. And He says, now if you want to go on, you got to get these things down. And when you do, you can grow if God permits. Anybody in this room ever had to go to the county for a permit? I heard the groans. Anybody in this room work for the county? Gail and Pat used to, and Laura, and thank God it's all in the used to. No. No. They were great. They were great representatives of the county. But how many know it can be a frustration getting through the permitting process? And God says, I come along as a foundation inspector because, not because I want you to be frustrated, but God comes along with the eyes of the Spirit and says, I want to see, how are you doing? Okay, you've got your foundation of repentance. Okay, are you, your baptism? How's your water baptism? You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got these things. Okay, faith, you understand. You say, okay, all right. And now you understand laying out of hands. You understand the power of Jesus inside of you that you're going to give me away. And I want my ambassador in the right frame of mind with the right understanding because they represent me. Now you know what you have inside. You know how to give it away. I see your foundations in order. Check! And it's time to go on. You get the permit. And if it's not there, God says, okay, honey, let's just do a little more learning, a little more growing, because this is a grace walk in God. Aren't you glad? Come on, punch your neighbor in the arm and say, I'm gladder than you are. Okay. It's fundamental, though. It's in the list of basics. All right, now watch. Acts is still being written by the Spirit of God today. If you read the book of Acts, the book of Acts is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Full of power and energy. The Holy Spirit's moving. The dunamis, the dynamic power of God. Dynamite, the word. The Greek word is dunamis, when the power of God falls on people. It's the word in our language is dynamite. The dynamite power of God. You get to Acts 28 and it ends before Paul is killed or martyred for his faith. It just ends with that portion ending. And I'm firmly convinced the book of Acts is still being written today. Because he's moving through you and through your family. And he's moving as you pray for your friends and your neighbors. And good job, Lynn. And as you pray for those you care about and you love your kids enough to tell them the truth about Jesus in a loving way. And that God is still doing remarkable things. We were watching television the other day. Maybe some of you saw CBN when they reported on the 50th anniversary of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that occurred, I believe it is Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. And there were 10 people. This was 1967 and a true story. There were 10 people, students, meeting in an upper room of this campus hall. And they said, and 50 years later, a couple of the kids that received this were right there in that meeting, and so they were interviewed. 50 years ago, 1967, they were crying out to God, and one of the students said, I want to see this like it is in the book of Acts. I want to experience and see this speaking in tongues thing. I want to see God do it. And he was miraculously baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was there talking about the fire of God that came upon him. This other gal was there in this interview. 50 years ago, she was in this room and she said, my hands were on fire and the Spirit of God began to move. All 10 of those kids met Jesus. Now listen to me. Listen carefully. There had not been a Catholic charismatic move, and the charismata is the Greek word for the gifts of the Spirit. And so it became known as the charismatic movement. And it was one of the most outstanding outpourings of the Spirit of God that's ever occurred in our ages. And denominational walls came down. Didn't matter if you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran. It didn't matter. We just loved Jesus together. And so these kids were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, there had not been a Catholic charismatic move. And 50 years later, are you ready? There are 120 million Catholic charismatics. 120 million just in the Catholic charismatic background. Because 10 people in an upper room decided to meet with God. 120 people in an upper room decided to wait on Jesus as he had told them to. To be waiting until they be, remember the Bible says in the scripture, endued with power from on high. The Greek word for endued literally means you will be clothed upon with power is the word dunamis from on high. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit of God was poured out on them. How many of you know God is alive and well? The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Acts is still being written by the Spirit today. But I want to tell you about one of the problems. Let's talk about it for a minute. So you know about it. Okay, we've talked about it before, but I want you to understand it in the theology in which it's approached. There are a lot of people who say the gifts of the Spirit is no longer. The gifts of the Spirit, I'll get my English correct. I'll speak Englishly. The gifts of the Spirit are no longer present in the body of Christ today. It's not true. They are called cessationists. The move of the Spirit ceased. You understand that? That's where that word comes from. Cessationists. The move of the Holy Spirit ceased in the body of Christ. There are those, I'm one, called continuationists. We believe the Holy Spirit continues to move today. Turn to each other and say, I'm a believer. How about you? I'm a believer. How about you? Amen. So, you will find people who write books, who write things, who frown on you for going to a church like this, even though the pastors are really nice. Anyway, you'll find people frown on that because, come on, listen, I want to say this really sweetly. Some of you probably noticed a few weeks ago I was giving an advance announcement about the prophet coming here because we believe, and I said it almost just like this, we believe the gifts of the Spirit are still present today. We saw a family get up and walk right out. That's okay. We loved them. We loved on them. We didn't get a chance to do much of that. But they, you know, I'd rather be hot or cold, Jesus says. So, but they are of the cessationist camp. I pray the Holy Spirit will touch them and show them He is still real. But we're of the continuationist camp. Now listen. There have been abuses in the body of Christ through the generations. People swinging from the chandeliers and all you got was a broken chandelier. People in faith camps buying Cadillacs and then having them foreclosed and they come back and take them back again because they couldn't afford it. And there are presumptuousness and there are issues. But if you say, I won't do anything with the Spirit of God because a few people abused it, then you miss your entire opportunity to grow in what God is doing today. Okay? So it's get in the Word of God. Build your foundation on the Word of God. Keep yourself in the company of believers, filled with faith, not works, and we walk together in what God is doing. And He's alive and well. Someone say amen. Amen. He's alive and well. So there's a big, big difference there, and it's a major thing. Watch the scripture, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 10 through 12. And I'm just going to spend a few more minutes on this. This is the theology of where they get this, okay? But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Watch. For now is now present, past, or future. It's what? It's present tense. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just also as I am known. Watch it out of the New Living. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. How many are you getting the picture? Something's foggy. It's hard to see. I can't get a real good glimpse. I see an outline. I see a faded picture. It's just not clear enough. And out of the Message translation, we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly, just as He knows us. Now, so you know the background of this. Mirrors were used extensively in the ancient worlds. But the Corinthian area, and this was written to Corinth, was famous for its Corinthian bronze mirrors. They would polish them highly. And how many know you still couldn't see yourself very well? They were the best to the known world at the time. You can still get now some sort of mirrors that are kind of metal things, and you still can't see very well. And we live in a day where mirrors actually are pretty good. We just don't like what I put in front of that mirror. So I can say that verse, I see myself clearly and walk away in shame. But in that day, that's what Paul is referring to. There's the picture. There's the image. I see myself in a brass mirror in a cloudy way. It's just not clear. And then I walk away and I forget what I've seen. I just can't get a grip. Now, so you understand the theology of it, cessationists believe that when the canon of Scripture was settled, that's the perfect that had come. And so we don't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore. But I want you to look at what Paul says. Let me try to go back here. Look at what he says. He's writing most of the New Testament that became canon of Scripture. And he says, look, even though we know this stuff, now we still see dimly. We don't see it all yet. How many know that even though the Bible is here, and I love the Word of God with my whole passion, don't ever hear me say anything less, I believe truth is built on the foundation of the Word of God, and if it ain't on the Word of God, Pastor Sherry's favorite phrase has become mine, it ain't worth the powder to blow it up.
Amen.
It's got to be on the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? But how many know that God's people are not yet perfect? But instead, when the perfect, when the maturity, when that which is complete, which is the Greek meaning, comes, we shall see Him face to face, because the perfect is Jesus Christ. Come on, the perfect is Jesus. He is coming back for His people. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is coming back. And when Jesus comes, the perfect shall have come. We'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll have a glorious reunion with our loved ones, those who have gone on before, those we love and miss. And God knows we will be perfect in His presence. Aren't you glad? So cessationism deals with the wrong thing. But God is still alive and still moving. So we're gentle with people, but the truth in love is what we need. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is here to give unction for action. Come on, say it with me. Unction for action. Do it again, just because I like to hear you say it. Unction for action. The Holy Spirit speaks, and He's still speaking today. Watch this, Acts 13, 1 and 2. You taking good notes? You getting all this? Okay, good. Some of you look at me, oh, was I supposed to? No. Now in the church, there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Real New Testament, move of God, real giftings, active and present in the body of Christ. Barnabas, Simeon, he was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who became Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, who said what? The Holy Spirit said. Now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they what? Laid hands on them. Now, you go into your Greek New Testament and your New Testament. When you see a phrase in italics, usually it means it was added by the copiers and the editors later. I put those italics in there. They aren't in your verse in the Bible, okay? I did that for emphasis. They laid hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now the word separate in the Greek means to exclude, set off somebody, to set them apart, to appoint them. And there's a calling to which Paul and Barnabas were called. Now I want you to see several things real quickly. The Spirit speaks. How many are glad the Holy Spirit's still speaking today? The Spirit speaks. Number two, the saints are separated. They are set apart for a purpose. They're called to a purpose. I have been involved in for 45 years in the body of Christ in a multitude of times we have had what we call presbytery ministry. You'll find in the scripture, I'm not even going to go into it this morning, but in the scripture, they had, the believers had the laying on of hands by the presbytery, an anointed group of men and women believers who are anointed by God, who lay hands on and setting and establishing the purpose of God in saints who have, usually we fasted for 3 days prior to the meeting, and the prophetic word was accompanying the laying on of hands. It's a powerful experience. But the saints are separated and set apart in God. Now you sit there and you go, yeah, well, that's never going to happen to me. I'm not going to be a missionary to China. I'm not going to be a missionary somewhere else. I'm not going to do those things. Well, it doesn't matter. Laying on of hands for the anointing of God. How many know you could use that every single day in your life, that the power of God will reside in you as you live in Squim, as you live up in Port Ludlow, as you live in Port Townsend, as you minister to your families? How many want a fresh imparting of the Spirit of God into their lives, to have the wisdom of God, the presence of God, to do the ministry to which he's called you? Every day the saints are separated, set apart. And number three, hands are laid upon them. Holy Spirit's anointing is put in them. A rumble of his presence stirs inside that earthquake, whether you feel it or not. Whether you feel it or not, God does something. Come on, did you feel your brain just think a thought just then? How many thank God you still have a brain? If I only had a brain. Thank God you got a brain that's working, but you may not have felt it right then. The Holy Spirit's presence is working inside. I want to urge you, when we have ministry here, or there's an altar call to which a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, or someone, or even little old me, if I give an altar call, and there's something stirring in your heart, there is nothing selfish or wrong with coming right up to the air and say, I want prayer. Include me. I don't want to miss what God is doing. And if you say, you know, maybe I don't need healing. Maybe I just need a fresh sense of the presence of God. Would you lay hands on me and pray for me? You know what? We live to lay hands on you. No, we live to pray for people. We live to bless people in the presence of God and see God's people leave established and strengthened and built up. Guess what? We're secret saints, because on the way out the door, we try to shake most of your hands and impart further blessing on your way out the door. That's not just a tradition. We who believe in the Spirit of God believe we are trying to do our best to impart his blessing and presence from beginning to end. And when we gather, we strengthen one another, and we go out into the mission field and live all week long, and we come back and we bring the praise reports or the need for prayer or whatever it is, and we strengthen each other again. How many know church is no accident, but it's an important part of our lives to receive the blessing of God? Watch the scripture. Watch what Paul and Timothy did. Paul says to Timothy out of the New King James, 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift. To do what? Stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, out of the NIV. I remind you, fan into flame. That's cool, isn't it? The gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Fan into flames, New Living says, the spiritual gift God gave you. When? When I laid my hands on you. And that doesn't come out with this end. When I get you home, I'm laying hands on you, kid. It's not that way. New American Standard Bible, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Out of the Message and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. I love that. Say it with me, would you? Keep that ablaze. Keep it ablaze! Remember when you got saved? Remember when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Remember when you received the gift of speaking in tongues? Step out and get a fresh new language. Step out. Keep using what God's given you. Somebody says to me, I got a few syllables. That's all I got. And I say to you, keep using those syllables over and over again. And God will expand your language as you surrender to God, as you go to Him in prayer, as you come into this time where you gather together and you worship together and you experience the presence of God and faith builds inside it. All of a sudden, you get a fresh impartation of the presence of God. Just like that. Hot chocolate. You've all had that water-based hot chocolate where you set it on the counter, walk away for 5 minutes and come back. You don't want it anymore unless you stir it up. I've told you the story of working up in Alaska, working with king salmon, you know, these 80-pound, wonderful, glorious fish at the time that would come out. And we used to have to put them on stainless steel trays and cart them over to the freezers. But before we did that, we had a glaze we had to put all over them and inside of them. And the first time the guys had me on the dock making that glaze, they just kind of said, oh, just pour the bag into there. And kind of chuckling at each other. I went, okay. And I went, one, two. It froze on me. And they had a good time at my expense. That stuff was so heavy and so intense, and you had to whip that thing and whip that thing and whip that thing, or it became like solid cement. And it was expensive, and we had to put that glaze all over those salmon so they could be deep frozen or flash frozen and then sent to various areas. Keep it stirred up. Keep it stirred up. Stir up the gift of God that's in you by the laying on of my hands. Abraham laid hands on his sons and imparted prophetic blessing. Israel, Jacob laid hands on his sons and declared the word of the Lord over him. Paul to Timothy, the Holy Spirit was imparted over and over again through the laying on of hands in the New Testament. Acts chapter 8. I want you, when you go home today, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes and review Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to tell you some of it here. It is one of the coolest stories in the Bible. The gospel was preached in Acts chapter 8. Miracles happened. It was a powerful move of God. People were delivered from demonic spirits. There was a move of God. Cleansing, miraculous power. But you'll see it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was not yet poured out. How can you have all that miraculous move of God and not have the Holy Spirit poured out? Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't present. It means that the extra, the additional, the river of God, the dunamis power of God that comes in an overwhelming way had not yet been imparted to these people. It was so important to the early apostles that they sent other apostles down, specifically when the miracles and the revival had occurred, to lay hands on them and impart the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 18, 14 through 17. But I really want you to see this. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had, say it with me, please, received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. No downstream apostles, right? I don't think there are already downstream apostles. Anyway, they had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them who, when they had come down, watch it, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and see what they did, church. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So if you come into this church and you go, why is that pastor always telling us to lay hands gently? Because we don't want you to throttle your neighbor, but why are you laying hands on somebody? Because of the impartation of the presence of God. Transference. Transmission of God to men and women. So much so, watch this. Watch this. This is really cool. So much so that it amazed a man who had been seen as a powerful magician who was watching them. He was seen as a remarkable one. They all kind of bowed down to this guy. But when he was watching this, he got in line, and the Bible says he was along with the other believers. And he believed too. Let's see what happened. And when Simon saw, verses 18 and 19, that through the, say it with me please, laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power. Something happened. Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. How many know it's not the hands, it's the Holy Spirit? He works through you and me. He moves on believers. He gives us his life and his presence. He still moves today. He's still alive today. We are continuationists today. We believe God does supernatural things today. We believe people who come in faith for prayer receive an impartation of the presence of God today. Come on, somebody say the word today. Get up. Get a fresh anointing in God today. And then finally, they were sent. Again, and others of you, Joseph has been in ministry for how many years, my friend? 50 years? Over 50 years. And you know, it was just the other day with friends who ministered 35 years. You know, we have people, we're surrounded by people who have done so many wonderful things in God. And Joseph's here and you guys are here because there's something in the presence of God. Even though we may have given out and given out and given out, we need the presence of God today again in our own lives. As you leave here today, I want to say it again. You go out into the mission field and live the life God has called you to live in His presence as His representative. And you know what you're facing. But the Lord is with you and wants to move through you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you grace. He'll give you anointing with His presence. Aren't you glad that's the work He does? Come on, someone say amen. Welcome to New Testament Christianity. Would you stand with me, please? There's dynamic power and dunamis, the Holy Spirit that's imparted through the laying on of hands. Because God moves upon His friends. Musicians, will you come again? We're going to conclude with, "Who am I that you're mindful of me? I'm a friend of God." If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, if you have a need, if you have a hunger in your heart to receive prayer in a powerful and fresh way, I know Pastor Sherry will join me, and there'll be others who will be praying, and you can pray for one another. The impartation of God. You pray for each other at home. You pray for each other as friends. Pray for each other as husband and wife. And in fact, what we should be concerned about when we see one another is imparting the blessing. Amen? I see you and I want to bless you. Remember, Paul said, "I want to come that I might impart a spiritual blessing." Isn't that what we do when we come into each other's presence? Isn't that a lot better than complaint? A lot better than gossip? A lot better than the soap operas? I should hear stronger amens than that. God is good. And He loves you so much. Father, we thank You for Your presence here this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You want to do so many things in our lives, and we give You the room to do it. Thank You, Lord, that we have the privilege of being Your people. And we pray that even as we go from this place, we go with the blessing and presence of God. We love You so much. Amen? Now, what we're going to do is have you all come right over here into this area, over by Pastor Sherry. Come on over, and we're going to pray for each of you this morning. And we're going to see the Lord do wonderful things for you and impart His blessing and His presence. If you decide before you go that you want it, come on forward, and we'll be praying for you as well. Those of you who are guests, we're glad that you've come here to be with us. And we pray that you have a fantastic day in the presence of God. And as you go, go knowing that God is with you. He's given you a future and a hope. Are you glad for that, church? God, we pray Your blessing on Your people today, even as they go. In the presence of the Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Roxanne, if you just put on the instrumental since you were playing this morning, we're going to have fun and just enjoy praying for people now. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. If you're going to remain, and we're glad that you will, please stretch out your hands toward these people and just join us as we pray. Otherwise, be released into the fantastic sense of the presence of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We'll start right here on this end. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus.